Can you hear me? Yes. Is this one off or low? Because I turned that to the side. Great. Well, welcome to First Baptist Church and welcome to Back to Church Sunday. As Mark mentioned, this is something that we just highlight in the fall for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's been summer and a lot of you go away for the summer. You do all kinds of trips. This summer, a little bit less than in the past. But we're welcoming people back to church from our own family. And then we're saying to our community, if you haven't been to church in a while, come on back. We are stronger together. And this year, more than ever, we want to celebrate that. This weekend marks my third anniversary at First Baptist Church. Our younger generations would say that that makes me a noob. And it's N-E-W-B, not N-O-O-B. So if you know the difference or you want to look it up later, you can see. But I am still the new guy. As I meet people around town, they say, oh, you're at First Baptist. How long have you been there? 3 years. Oh, so you're new. So I still feel new, even though on some days I feel old. Anyone feel old today with the cooler weather? Cindy asked if I was okay because as I walked through the hallway this morning, my knee decided to do something that I wasn't planning to do. It just turned a funny way. But this year, we have been through a lot. You don't need me to tell you that, but I'm just going to remind you of some of those things. We've been driven apart. We've been forced into isolation. And while that goal was to provide physical safety and improve our physical health, it was not healthy for us spiritually or emotionally. 2020 will be a mile marker for all of us. Just as my grandparents looked back to the stock market crash of 1929, that was a pivotal event in their lives. And my parents grew up in the Depression. The end of the Cold War is something many of you would remember and say that was a big mile marker. Or the attacks on 9/11. We still look back and say, what were you doing that day? And for my siblings and people just a little older than me, it would have been the day JFK was shot. Right? Everybody remembers those points and how they affected us personally, how they affected our nation. Some of the biggest personal impacts of COVID affected your family. They affected your job. They affected our education. Even recreation and vacation plans. They were all affected by this, and we will remember 2020. Then there were riots throughout our country. There were murder hornets. There were toilet paper shortages. Are we ever going to have enough toilet paper? What happens when we run out? Has anyone ever used bark? I hope I don't have to. The birth of my first grandchild was thrown in there. Many of you didn't celebrate that, but we did. And now schools trying to open and reopen, and we still have a presidential election ahead of us. It's been quite a year. Our theme, Stronger Together, reminds us that together, individuals, families, and friends, no matter what your economic situation is, the geography of your home, or even the color of your skin, none of these things matter. But together, all of us can make God's church stronger. Together, we can thrive in uncertainty. We can stay hopeful in a world of doubt. We can be confident even as fear grips our communities, and we can flourish as one family. We at First Baptist Church believe that this is a better time than ever for you to come back, to get plugged in to a local church that offers friendships. It offers opportunities for you to serve your community, and most importantly, a place, as Frank said, to grow spiritually. A place where your own journey of personal faith in the God who knows you, loves you, and cares about you can grow and flourish. This morning we're going to explore the theme of being stronger together. And then we're going to talk briefly about how a properly functioning church is the right place to be. We're going to go through a number of different scripture passages because what I have to say about it is not really that important. But what God has to say about any topic is important. So we're going to listen to God, and I'm just going to make a few comments along the way. Is this on and functioning? Oh, that was supposed to be up before. If 2020 was a bag of chips, you've seen a lot of memes. Anyway, moving on. Two are better than one, but three are even better. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. This is straightforward, common sense, wisdom from Solomon, who other than Jesus Christ, who is God, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And he gives several examples of why two are better than one. How many of you enjoy hiking, going out onto a trail, walking through the woods? How many of you are rock climbers or willing to go up a hill? Either of those events, the first rule is you don't go alone. If you twist an ankle, if you have a fall while you are hiking, rock climbing, and you're in the middle of nowhere, you need someone to give you a helping hand. You need someone to pull you up to help you to safety. You don't do those things alone. Two people sharing a blanket, or if you're married, sharing a bed will be much warmer on colder nights than one alone. And then Solomon says, if someone wants to fight you, it's always better to have a wingman, someone who has got your back when things get rough. And then finally, he uses the example of three strands. And I was going to have kids come up and do this, but I couldn't find strands that worked well enough. If you just have one strand and you pull on it, it can come apart. If you put two together, it gets a little bit stronger. And if you braid them, then they are really strong. So one alone doesn't have a lot of strength, but two, three, or more have incredible strength. This is just wisdom that can apply to anything. The answer to all of these things is that we need each other. And if nothing else comes from the year 2020, we learned how much we need each other. Living in isolation is just not good for us. God created people to live and flourish in family and in community. Another verse from Solomon in the book of Proverbs is Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. You can't sharpen a metal knife with a piece of wood or with something soft. What's going to happen if I start slicing this wooden podium, even though it's solid oak and it's nice and strong? What's going to happen? It's going to start falling apart. It's going to chip up. You need something stronger, like a sharpening stone or another piece of metal. Something strong enough to smooth out the rough spots. This is my father's French chef knife, and this is his sharpening file. And this was a sound that was home for me, because anytime he took out this knife, he would stop and make sure it was sharp. Because if you're a chef or a cook, you know that a dull knife is dangerous, but a sharp knife is something that is a good tool. When I became old enough to use this, and when I started using this on Thanksgiving myself, I felt like I was finally an adult, because I was old enough to not cut my thumb off and to sharpen this. And this is something that I still just enjoy doing because it reminds me of my father. That's the way he kept his knife sharp. Iron sharpens iron. You need people in your life who are stronger than you are, who are older, who are wiser, who have gone on their spiritual journey a little longer than you have, because they're going to be able to help you stay sharp and grow in your faith. They're going to be able to help you in life. Well, these principles are true for anyone. Two are always better than one. We're called to encourage one another, to build each other up, to challenge each other when you're getting off the track. It's better to work alongside others so that you'll persevere when things get hard, when life gets hard. You won't quit or give up when there's somebody alongside you. And so we could apply this to life and say, it's good to be with other people. Maybe I'll join a social club. Maybe I'll join a musical ensemble and enjoy singing with people. Maybe I'll go to the gym and work out with other people to keep me going instead of trying to do it at home alone. The shared interest, whatever that club is about, may be all that you have in common. But what's different about church? It goes so much deeper than just a common interest. If you look around the room today, we're from different backgrounds. We're from different places. We have different interests. But when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you become part of a global family. We are brothers and sisters who now meet together in local houses of worship. We meet together as family to encourage each other. And what's different is our common bond is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation of our church, and we're going to talk more about that. But Cindy read this passage from Philippians for us, from Philippians chapter 2. I'm just going to remind you of a couple of those verses, verses 2 to 5. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have the same mind, the same love. Be of full accord with one mind. Jesus is the one that we are following. He's the one we're patterning our lives after. We begin to think as Jesus does. We begin to act as Jesus did here on earth. We stop focusing on our selfish desires. We stop focusing on just my needs, and we think about others. We look out for their interests, and we serve others. And when an entire church does that well, then we're all caring for one another. I don't have to worry about myself because I know that there are other people that are praying for me, caring for me, and checking up on me. We serve each other in love, not looking for something in return. Do you have those kind of friendships? It might be a neighbor who you know that if you do something good for him, he's going to come back and do something for you. If you bring this person a meal, they'll be sure to bring you a meal right back. That's not how we want to serve one another. We want to do it just out of love and care. We love as God loves us, unconditionally. Isn't that the kind of place that you want to be part of? We're going to look at several passages in the Bible where the church is described using two different analogies, a body and a building. And they all have this theme in common, unity, being together, and being stronger together. So first of all, the body where all of the parts are working together. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 7 and then 11 to 16. So Jack, can you forward through those for me while I read? Just listen to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 7 and then 11 to 16. This is the Apostle Paul writing. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then down to verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by our every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Paul calls the church to maintain unity in the Spirit. There is just one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. One God and Father of us all. And in us all, the Holy Spirit indwelling every believer. That is our unity. And then Paul says, we are one body, the church, joined together like joints in the body, where when each part is working properly, the body grows and builds itself up in love. A body is made up of many parts, but you just say there is a body, there is a person. You don't say, oh, there goes a finger or a head. You say, there goes a person. Paul continues this idea in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there's just a couple verses here, verses 24 and through 26. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that there may be members having the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. In that passage, Paul goes on to talk about how different parts serve different functions, and some are more honorable than others, some are visible and out there for everybody to see, and others you kind of keep hidden away. But it doesn't make any of them less important. There should be no divisions in the church, the body of Christ. Each member counts equally in importance and are called to take care of each other. The church doesn't look to the government to solve all our problems. We give each month to a benevolent or a compassion fund so that we can help people in need. Do you remember your last toothache, or maybe breaking your pinky toe? The smallest parts of our body can have a huge impact on our whole day and our whole body. Your whole body suffers. Your whole body feels that pain. And in the church family, when one is suffering, all suffer. We prepare meals when someone has been in the hospital. We offer rides if someone needs a ride to church or can't drive. When someone loses a loved one, we mourn together. When someone can't see family members because of the quarantine, we share their grief. We cry with each other when life is hard. We offer hope and encouragement from God's Word. That's a body functioning the way it should. We've had some recent retirement parties here at our church, and if one is honored, all rejoice together. We share, we celebrate with each other, and because church is a family, we eat together, we play together, we pray together. Our growth groups meet in homes, and they give you an opportunity to get to know people better, to become part of each other's lives, to be praying personally for one another instead of just in a big group. The church is a body, and it all works together. Paul also gave the illustration of the church as a building. And we looked at this passage just a few months ago in 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read verses 4 and 5 to you. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, it's talking about Jesus Christ, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The church is a spiritual house, and each of us, in this illustration, are like the stones, the building blocks of the wall that together form the church. Paul explained this also in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. For through him, Jesus Christ, we have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The foundation of the church as a building is the apostles who planted the first churches. They wrote the New Testament as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ himself is described as the cornerstone, the building block that holds everything together. We grow together and we strengthen each other as we're interconnected like Legos. Do we have any master builders out there? Anybody love Legos? Still like playing with them? You can raise your hands, parents too. What's the difference between these two walls? I'll ask the girls up front. Which of these two walls is stronger? This one or this one? This one or this one? I hear some differing opinions. How about on this side? Which of these walls is stronger? This one or this one? Why? They're interlocking. This wall, which is very easy and fast to build, are columns. And if I push on them, they just fall right over. On this side, where the pieces are interlocking, that doesn't move at all. It takes a lot longer because you have to find all the fours, and you have to find the eights to go with them, and you have to stagger the rows. But that wall is so much stronger than this wall. So if we're in church, and we stick with our group of people, the people we know well, the people that are easy to talk to because we've known them forever, and we just stick in our little column, that's how strong we are. We just can topple right over, because what happens if that group of people aren't there that week? What happens when the person you always sit with is sick and they're not here? Well, you feel all alone. But if we connect and interconnect with the whole church body, and we get to know the people in that pew, in that pew, in that family, in that side of town, people from that background, then we are a building, a wall, that is so much stronger, that we can encourage and build up each other because we are connected to all different parts of the body. There are a lot of churches that focus on one age group and say, we're just going to be a millennial church, or we're going to be a retired church, or we're going to be this church or that church, and everybody is the same. And that's great culturally because you feel very comfortable. But what you miss is getting to hear the wisdom from people from a different point of view. You miss people from different cultures. You miss the age and the wisdom that goes along with that, people that are believers longer than we are. So if you join one of our growth groups, you're going to find people from all different ages, different backgrounds, and we love that. We celebrate being together as a church family. In the online notes, this is bonus content if you're watching online or if you want to look at it later on the website, I included God's blueprint from Strong Church, which was by Dr. Greening of our church association. It lists 7 building requirements for a church. So if you have time later and you want to go to our website, dunkirkbaptist.org, you'll find the sermon. You can listen to it, you can watch it again, and you can also see in the notes these 7 key building blocks. I just knew I was going to run out of time once I started playing with Legos and sharpening my knife, so you can read those later. The church is a building. Our ultimate goal, as we read in Ephesians chapter 4 earlier, the purpose of our church is spelled out so clearly. Unity of the faith. Knowledge of the Son of God. We're here to become more like Jesus Christ, so we have to know Him. And we grow spiritually. We have spiritual, mature people. Paul talks to the early church and says, don't stay like babies in your faith, where you're just drinking the milk, the easy-to-hear stuff. Dig into the meat of the Word of God. It takes a little more work. It takes some study, but that's where you're really going to grow and prosper as a believer, by digging into the meat of God's Word. Spiritual maturity is becoming like Jesus Christ. So as we talked about before, the church is not a social club. Even though we enjoy good friendships, we enjoy eating together, we enjoy meeting together, we're not here as a social club. The church is not a social net for people in trouble. Even though we show God's love, we show mercy and compassion by helping those in our church and those in our community, we're not here as a social net to fix all of your social problems. The church is not a place where you come to hear a weekly pep talk. There are people around that are much more energetic and much more easy to listen to than I am. And if you want those pep talks, you can find a church that will just make you feel good every Sunday. God's Word is very clear that my role as a shepherd, as a pastor of a church, is to preach the gospel, to preach God's Word. And as I was listening to a much more famous preacher on a podcast this week, he said, the gospel is offensive. I'm not here to offend people, but the gospel is offensive. The gospel says each of us are born sinners. Each of us cannot do enough good things to earn our way into heaven. When we hear that, we could be offended and say, well, I'm a pretty good person. You might be, compared to your neighbors, compared to other people. But if you're comparing yourself to God's holiness, to Jesus Christ, then the Bible says all of our good deeds are like filthy rags, like the garbage pile in your basement. That's offensive, but that's the gospel. We need a Savior. We need to be cleansed from our sins in order to have a relationship with God. And that's the good news. That's what I love preaching, is the good part of it. But you have to hear the bad part first. You have to know that you need a Savior. Jesus Christ died on the cross. The Son of God would not have come to earth and willingly be beaten, punished, whipped, and killed if that wasn't necessary. He wouldn't have given up His life if it didn't need to happen. And the Father wouldn't have sent His Son if it wasn't necessary. But He died in your place, in my place. He died for our sins, for all of our transgressions, the entire world. But He didn't stay on the cross. He rose from the dead. He came back to life. And He offers eternal life to all who would believe. That's the good news of the gospel. So the church is more like a gym. It's more like a spiritual training center, developing strong disciples in Jesus Christ as we're taught, as we're equipped to build up others, to share the gospel with others. So when you come in those doors or whatever doors, pretend you see God's gym on the door, because that's what we're here to do, the heavy lifting, to figure out how can we share God's word with the world around us that so needs to hear it. How can we get stronger and not just stay flabby? I'm not going to do my Arnold Schwarzenegger pump you up, but that's what's in my head right now. But that's what I'm thinking about. Don't be flabby, right? Be strong. Because when we are together, we are stronger. We encourage each other to keep working out, like that person that is working out with you at the gym, the guy spotting for you, or the girl who's saying, let's just do another 20 reps. That's urging you on. As believers, we need to say, let's stay with it. Stay in God's word. What have you read this week? What have you been encouraged by this week? How can I pray for you? That's what we're doing. We're growing together. So our mission as a church, as you see on the sign behind me, is to worship, to grow, and to share. We worship God. We submit to His word as our authority to life. We seek to glorify and honor Him in everything that we do. We seek to grow spiritually and in community so that we can build each other up. We grow in our faith one by one, but we also grow together as a faith community. And then we share. When Jesus left the earth, He said, go into all the world, and as you're going, make disciples, make new followers, teach them, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that they will grow to obey my word, to know me and to be more like me. We share the gospel. We share God's grace, His love, His mercy with our local community. We also share our individual spiritual gifts as we have opportunities to serve together. If you have been taking notes or you want to write down some thoughts, here's the next steps. And there's going to be one for everybody. Here's our, I call them takeaways. If you're going to walk out the door today, what are you going to take away? Are you going to remember me not cutting off my thumb with my knife? Are you going to remember the Legos? Or are you going to remember, what do I need to do? When we hear God's word, we need to react to it. James said, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith alone, I would invite you to do that today. That would be the turning point of your life. It would make all of the problems of 2020 just dissolve into, that's the day I started a relationship with God. That's the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I brought all my burdens to Him. I accepted that He is the Son of God. I admitted that I'm a sinner and I'm unable to save myself. I believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior, who died on the cross and rose again. And I confess that Jesus Christ is going to be Lord of my life, and I'm going to submit to Him in everything. God is your creator. He designed you. He made you. He knows what your purpose is. So who better to follow than Him? We chase after all kinds of things, trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? God's word is so clear. Glorify God, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. Wherever you go, we're here to honor Him. If you've taken that step today as you're listening online, maybe you're listening downstairs, maybe you're listening later, I'm speaking to the people in the future. If you're listening to this message and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, get a hold of me here at First Baptist Church and let me know, because I want to rejoice with you and I want to see how we can help you grow in your faith. If you don't have a church home, I'd invite you to join us here at First Baptist, to become part of our family. We had an intro class just a couple weeks ago. Several new people are joining our church, and we're going to have another one in October. So if you're interested in learning more about our church, what we do, why we do it, and if this is the place for you, then join us on the 18th for a class. And it includes a good lunch from Mark Stasinski. He makes a nice lunch. Are you growing spiritually? Have you been a believer for a long time and you still like you're still at step one or two? I invite you to start coming to one of our Bible studies. Come to our men's or ladies' breakfasts. Come to one of our growth groups. Or in October when our Sunday school classes start up again. It's great to be here and hear God's Word together to sing praises, but to be in one of those classes where you're learning and you're asking questions and you're interacting with God's Word, that's where greater growth is going to happen. So I'd encourage you to make that decision. Maybe you're not functioning as a part of the body and you want to serve. Maybe you've done something in the past and you thought, there's nothing left for me to do. I can't do anything, so I'm just going to hang up my halo and be done. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that we're supposed to retire from serving in the church. So pick up a brochure that says serve at the Welcome Center and look through that list. Find something that you enjoy doing. Find what your gifts are and serve our local church, serve our community. There is something for you to do, every one of you, because God created you to be part of our church. One of these blocks in this wall is you. And without that block, we're missing something. Or in the body, maybe you're the left foot and we have to hop around because we're waiting for you to show up and be part of the body. Scripture tells us that every local church is equipped with everything we need to share the gospel with our local community. So if you're not here, we are missing you. Pick up that share brochure. And then starting in October, we'll be returning to our Got Hope series. I'll be finishing up the book of 1 Peter, chapters 4 and 5. So if you are looking for something to do on Sunday mornings, remember we're going back to 9:30 in October. And then we'll start having our Sunday school classes again. And then hopefully after that, we'll be able to start having the food and fellowship part two, because we enjoy that. Speaking of hope, I hope that you'll stay with us today and have some ice cream. Back in the summer, when I thought about mid-September, ice cream sounded like a great idea. Let's just, you know, join together and have some ice cream out on the lawn. It is sunny out there, and if you stand in the sun, you will start feeling warm, and then you'll say, I could really use some ice cream. So when we're done, walk out the back doors right out onto the lawn. We have some ladies who would be happy to serve you wearing gloves and a mask. We have some chairs out there if you want to eat, spread out. You can take your mask off while you eat the ice cream, unless you're really good at scooping it underneath and not making a mess. But anyway, we'd be happy to have you stay with us. Mark's going to come up. We're going to sing a closing song. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for being the foundation, for being the cornerstone of the church, that we can build our lives on you and that together we can be stronger as a church family, as a community of believers. I pray, Lord, this morning that anyone that doesn't know you, that they would trust you as Savior. For anyone that is looking for a church or looking to get more involved, would take the time to learn more about us. I just thank you, Lord, for the history, for the many people who have gone before us here at First Baptist. We are standing on their shoulders and the work that they've done. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to continue to be faithful in teaching, preaching your word, in growing in our faith and serving and sharing the gospel with our community. May God make you increase and abound in unity and love for one another and for all, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name I pray. Amen.